1-800-449-8686.
Go ahead, sir.
My wife and I were traveling along. I own a Winnebago. I own a recreational vehicle, Winnebago. And my wife and I were traveling along the Pacific Coast Highway in California. And I went to make a left-hand turn, and I used my turn signal.
All right.
Now, the California Highway Patrol tells me that the guy that I ran off the road went down about 50 foot of cliff.
You ran somebody off the road?
Yes, and here's the part that gets me. First of all, if you drive a recreational vehicle or a Winnebago or any kind of large RV, you have got one hell of a lot of a vehicle to control. And I have said repeatedly to friends of mine, and I have talked to police officers about this, if you see a Winnebago or a RV, you best just move out of the way, back off, or otherwise give that recreational vehicle wide clearance, because we've got 10,000 pounds of Detroit iron. Now, they claim that this accident was in some way, shape, or form caused by me, although legally they couldn't have proven it because he was behind me.
You went to turn off of Pacific Coast Highway and you ran some guy off the road down 50 foot of cliff?
Yes, sir. And I had my turn signal on.
So why would you be proposing... Why is it that you're proposing that RV... That RV owners not have to use turn signals?
Because the time has come for everybody driving a car to recognize that the recreational vehicle is obviously much larger, much more difficult to navigate, and that they should be aware of us. And I'm getting so tired, Mr. Henry, of hearing how the RV owners of America are somehow to blame because people run into us. Get the hell out of the way is what I say. And get the hell out of the way now, because...
Well, you know the controversy around recreational vehicle owners going down the fast lane of the freeway and not getting out of the way.
Oh, baloney. Let me tell you something. We've got 10,000 pounds of Detroit iron, and I'll tell you what. That is it takes one hell of a man or woman to control that vehicle, and if you're in a car, you best just get your... Clear out of there. Because you're in a very dangerous situation.
I've seen the Winnebago. Now, what kind of car? What do you have?
We have what's called an Adventurer. It's got full Winnebago's best-selling motorhome. And we're members of the Happy Wanderers Club, which is a group of Winnebago owners. But I've got a 30-foot rig, 35-foot rig. With a living room, bedroom, side out of the...
Okay, I don't need to know all about what you got. What I'm asking you is, do you really think that it's feasible that the Highway Patrol or any state legislature in the United States is going to allow you guys to tool around without having to use your turn signal?
Absolutely.
Why would you say that?
For the simple matter of what I just got done telling you, we are big enough so that everybody can see us. Everybody knows we're there. You see a Winnebago, then you either back off by 10 to 15 feet. If you want to go buy one, then you better do it like a bat out of hell, because you don't know when we're going to be moving over.
And so, in other words, everybody on the road has to look out for you. You don't have to look out for everybody else.
We got 10,000 pounds of Detroit...
You told me all about the 10,000 pounds of Detroit iron. You want to just move your RV...
These jerks have got to open their sunglassed 4x4 Jeep Iroquois Botoxed eyes. You got these bozzy-eyed geeks driving around in their Land Rovers or whatever, their SUVs. And let me tell you something. what I do, okay? Because this is a...
You sound like a guy who does a lot of RVing, and I appreciate that. But to say I don't have to use my turn signal because I'm somehow bigger than everybody else...
I used my turn signal on Pacific Coast Highway. I still ran the son of a bitch off of the...
Please watch your language, okay?
I'm sorry. I used my turn signal on PCH, and I still ran the son of a...
Watch it.
You know, forget about it. Just forget it.
You used your turn signal, and...
And I ran the guy off a 50-foot cliff.
Well, if you're using a turn signal, it still means that you got to use the rear-view mirror.
Why?
Because what if you put your turn signal on and your RV and you go to go left or right and there's a guy there?
Then it's his. It's a bad day at Black Rock for him, then, isn't it? And maybe he should have gotten up in the morning and decided, gee, this is a great day. Maybe I'll run into somebody with an RV and die. So I think I'm going to have to be a little bit more careful. And that's what I'm talking. You know, you guys in cars...
Oh, don't start in with me, guy. Us guys in cars, sir. You know, you're the one out there in your RV. Now, you mentioned that you got into an accident, in Nebraska?
That is correct. I was in Ogallala, Nebraska. Let me tell you what happened. And it wasn't an accident either. It was not an accident. I was coming out of getting gasoline, and some guy goes by and does what they all like to do with those of us who are in RVs, tosses me a bone. Okay? And
what do you mean by toss you a bone?
He gave me the middle finger.
He flipped you off.
Flipped me off. And I said to my wife, who was asleep, so she couldn't hear me, but I said out loud, watch this. I chased the guy up onto Interstate 80, which was cutting through the northern part of Nebraska. We get to Walcott, Iowa. Now, I'm telling you, that's a good 100 miles, and this guy finally pulls over, thinking he's going to be tough. He opens up the driver's side door, and I took off. I took the whole door off with the front right side of my RV, and that was the last I saw him.
I thought you were in an accident.
That's not an accident. That's justice. All right?
Sir, taking out some guy's door, taking off...
You know, I drive a recreational vehicle. I drive an Adventure Winnebago. I've been driving this thing for 6 months out of the year for the last 5 years of my retirement. And I'll be a son of a you-know-what if you're going to tell me that I've got to use a turn signal. And let me tell you something else, by the way. I still got that guy's GD door from his car.
How did you do that? This guy gets out of his car. That's a maniac thing to do.
Well, let me tell you something. He made a big mistake when he tossed me a bone.
Well, how did you get the door? So the guy gets out of his car, and you take off the door as it's...
You better believe. Then I stopped, I got out, I looked at him, and I said, anytime you're ready, my dance ticket doesn't have any punches in it. And he stood there because he was scared. He looked like he was going to crap three shades of brown. And I grabbed that door and threw it inside the RV, and off I went. And you want to know something now? His door is now my hood ornament.
You're an angry man, aren't you?
I'm angry about the fact that I go out 6 months out of the year and try to have a good time, and I got every jackball from here to the main coast telling me I got to use a turn signal. Carol, pour me a cup of coffee and pass me that salami sandwich.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. RV owner. That guy wants to make it legal for RV owners not to use turn signals because they're big enough where you ought to see them. Now, in the last year, he's run one guy off of the road and down a 50-foot embankment, and another guy's car door he took off. Just ran right into the guy's car door and sheared it right off at the hinges. 1-800-449-8686. Hold on. Now, this guy drives a Winnebago Adventurer, which is around a $100,000 vehicle. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
8686. And now, Bill Landry.
All right, this gentleman on the line with me right now owns an RV, and he's on the road with his wife, and they're traveling 6 months out of the year in a big Winnebago RV. You don't think you should have to use a turn signal because the car is big enough for other people to see, and you're getting tired of having people flip you off. Is that it?
Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. No monkey tosses me a bone without some serious damage. And I'll tell you one other thing, too, and this is my whole card. I'm a Korean War veteran, and you think I'm going to take that? You think that I have to turn a signal on my Winnebago? I fought for this country. Let the other jackass see where I am. You can see me. I'm in a Winnebago.
You're angry because you ran somebody down a 50-foot cliff, and they sued you.
Well, I'm a Korean War veteran, and the monkey saw my signal, and he still, like a dumbass, got run down a cliff. What do you want from me?
What I'd like you to do is also watch your language, okay?
Oh.
Watch your language, please. Here is Leona. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Leona?
Hello.
Go ahead, Leona.
Well, I just wanted to make the comment. My husband and I have been RVing for 20 years.
What's that?
Including 10 years full-time on the road, not just 6 months out of the year, but 12 months out of the year.
Okay.
And you want to have your license taken away from you. You got no business being on the road. Your vehicle is big enough to cause a whole lot of damage. You've already caused a lot of damage. You ought to show some consideration for other people.
Wait a minute.
I've been listening to you for a minute. Wait a minute.
Well, hold your horses.
I sure hope that I am never on the same part of the stretch of the highway that you are.
Well, Leona, if you got the attitude that you have, you better hope we don't meet up, because nobody tosses me a bone and then takes off down the interstate thinking I won't do anything less than
Number one, I don't use that kind of language. I don't use that kind of language, so I can dignify it. I would not do such a thing.
What language did I use?
When he says tosses a bone, he means somebody flipped him off.
I know what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
You'll be kissing
and
the back of my hand.
There's no reason for that kind of stuff on the air, or the other language that you told him to shut up about.
That's true. That is true.
I'm a Korean War veteran. I fought for this country in Korea.
So did my husband.
And I don't need
So did my husband.
Well,
so did my father.
Well, that doesn't give him a right to be a bone tosser.
I didn't say he was. He don't.
He don't
he's
toss
more, he's got more manners than that, but that does not give you the unobstructed use of the road. You have to use courtesy. And I would really love to see somebody get a hold of your address or whatever and take your driver's license away, but you're a big enough idiot to probably get out and drive anyway.
Leona, let me tell you something. We drive around. We're part of the Happy Wanderers, and we travel all over the country. Some bone tosser lost a door because he thought he was going to tangle with me.
I heard you.
Okay.
But that, you know, you're like a little tomcat. You got to go out there and prove that you're a big shot, which really just makes you a little, you know, make you a big shot.
Are you a senior citizen?
Yes, I am.
Well, my wife and I are, too. So that means you, Leona, think that all the senior citizens got to sit here and have people toss some bones all day long.
No, I did not say that.
I'm
just saying that by the sounds of it, you deserve it.
Hey, let me say this, Lloyd. You got your wife sleeping in the back. And now you're taking off after a guy, and you take his door off. What if that guy had a gun?
That doesn't scare me.
Oh, it doesn't? Your wife is with you? Don't you owe a little protection to her?
Look, let me tell you something. 1951, the Chinese come over the Yalu River on us. And ever since that day, I couldn't give a sweet Jesus about any bone tosser in a bone-white Buick.
Hey, keep Jesus out of it, too.
Who?
He didn't do a thing.
You toss a bone my way, you come back with a stump.
Look, you may be a Korean War vet, but that was a long time ago. You're a senior citizen.
Okay, so what are you saying now?
Nothing. I'm just saying that you're a man of it.
Let me tell you something. I could come to the radio station right now, and I could make you my bitch.
If you use that language one more time.
What'd I do?
You use the B-I-T-C word.
See, this just proves this man has no business on the road. It sounds like he may have been a good man at one time when he was fighting in the Korean War. My husband was in the service. My dad was in the service. You know, there's a lot of people that don't belong on the road anymore. It sounds like a serious case of dementia.
What?
Goodbye.
Hey, look, that guy lost his door. I was aiming for his ass.
All right, she's gone. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Here is Terry. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, there's one thing that I would like to say, Mr. Korean Vet. I am a Vietnam vet.
What's that?
I drive an 18-wheeler for a living.
Huh?
I'm an ex-police officer, and you are a stupid idiot.
Ex-police
officer. If you do not want to be abiding by the law states when you change lanes, you are to signal.
Not me.
You are to make sure that the lane is clear before you go.
That's for
and
other
I
people.
I hope he takes everything that you have got and keeps it, and you have nothing. Because you need nothing, you don't need to be on the road, you will not abide by the law, and because you're a Korean veteran doesn't mean that you are over anybody else. I'm a Vietnam veteran. Does that mean that I am better than anybody else in
the USA? No, it does not. Because
no,
you guys doesn't.
You
guys
you
came back
stupid,
drug addicted.
Idiot, and you need no more comment.
And the
you
Korean
need your
war,
license pulled, Korea, and I
well,
sure
it's not
would like to
happen.
Be the one that pulled them.
You toss a bone my way, and you come back with a bloody stump. And
okay, we got
care.
That line already, all right?
Look. I was driving. I was outside. I was outside of Stillwell, Minnesota, and we were coming into the Twin Cities. And here comes some yahoo, just like this guy Terry, in a truck, and he thinks he's going to get cute and pull in front of me. So when we got up to the rest stop, I got out, grabbed a handful of his shirt, and I said, "Just who do you think you are?" And good thing the cop showed up.
Wait a minute. He got in front of you what?
He thought he was going to get in front of me.
So he got in front of you.
Well, nobody gets in front of me unless I blink my brights. And then they're...
Oh, God.
What are you laughing about?
Wait a second.
I'm laughing about how stupid you are.
You Vietnam vets came back with a lot of pot, smoking a lot of pot.
Well,
so why should I?
Oh,
not
God.
Idiots like you.
What are you. So, in other words, the guy got in front of you and you got to grab the handful of shirt?
Yeah, that's right. Nobody gets in front of me unless I first blink my brights three times.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 69 years of age.
You're 69 years of age?
Yes, sir, I am.
When's the last time you took a driver's license test?
You know, you might as well ask me when's the last time I had a healthy bowel movement. Because I can tell you this right now, Terry, it's been a lot of years.
Well, then that's the point that this Terry is trying to make. You need a skill test behind the wheel.
Bull.
No, that ain't bull. You need to sit behind the wheel of a car with an authorized driving instructor or something to find out just how good you are.
Look, we finished off some of Carol's camper chili, and I was fired up, and this guy tried to get in front of me.
Why can't he get in front of you?
Nobody gets in front of me.
Why?
Because I'm a Korean War veteran, and
so they got to flash. You got to flash your brights three times.
You can get in front of me if, and only if, I flash my brights three times short, and two long flashes, and then three more short flashes. Now that's the code that the RV Happy Wanderers Club uses, and until such time as you do that, you can sit there and suck on it for all I care.
I don't know where. 1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I got one question for him. How much does your RV weigh?
What's that?
How much does your RV weigh?
About 10,000 pounds of Detroit iron.
Okay, what are you going to do whenever you have an 80,000-pound 18-wheeler over 65-foot long on the side of you? You plan on running him off the road with your little 10,000-pound RV?
Well, let me tell you something. I can outmaneuver a rig. I can get around him, hit my brakes just long enough so that he locks his up, and then I take off. Now the guy's jackknifing. Now he's praying for Jesus.
Well, what if he's a good enough driver to where he can hold his own in that truck? What if he catches up to you? Pulls out in front of you, slams on his brakes, and kills you and kills your wife. You've been through a lot in your life.
You've survived a lot of things.
You survived Korea.
Yes, now, why is road rage going to bring you to the end of your life? Wait a second.
The best thing you can do is park your RV because it doesn't sound like you're competent enough to operate it. You got professionals on the highway with commercial driver's licenses.
That's what they do to support their families. If he tries to hit the brakes on me, I scoot around him. I'm too quick for any truck driver.
Listen to me. Whenever we get in this truck, hold on, John. We're responsible for the truck.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
The voice of Lloyd was played by me, the voice of the RV driving old man, and all the callers that called thought that was a real guy they were talking to. On yesterday's show, I played the part of David G. Hall, who is our program director and vice president of syndication. And he wanted all of us, you and me, to stop talking negatively about Osama bin Laden because he felt that he was very close to lining up an exclusive interview with Osama bin Laden, and any negative rap about him, calling him a scumbag or a murderer, would kill the deal. And David is this close to a George Foster Peabody Award for broadcasting, and he's not going to have me and my Osama bin Laden skull sex bits screw it up. And here's what happened.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I totally don't agree with your vice president, what he's saying.
You wouldn't listen to an Osama bin Laden interview.
Why should we be quiet in fact of the way he killed all these people? Why should we be quiet about it?
I asked you, would you watch an interview with him?
You're trying to build your career by getting an interview with Osama bin Laden.
I started in this business.
Why don't you think about the American people?
I started in this business 25 years ago, scrubbing toilets at a local radio station in Sacramento, California. Today, I stand on the precipice of greatness. If I score this interview with Osama bin Laden, you'll know my name. You'll know my name, and you'll remember my name.
Nobody can find bin Laden, but you're going to find bin Laden, and you want the American people to keep their mouths
shut. I didn't say I'm going to find him. I said Al Jazeera Television could line up an interview with him. And if they do, I'm directing you, Gita, and all other listeners, to keep the hole under your nose shut about Osama bin Laden.
We're not going to keep our mouths shut. This is a freedom of speech.
Look, you can say anything you want. Just don't say anything bad about Osama bin Laden.
He's a complete asshole, and you know that.
Edit that out, Phil.
I'm not going
to. I said to edit it out.
You can't.
Edit it out.
We had to dump that out, Gita. I'm sorry. Gita?
Yes, I hear you.
We had to edit that out.
That's right. So everything bad you say, we'll just edit it out.
We have opinion.
Yeah, you got an opinion. Look, you know the old saying, you know what a butthole is, right?
You can kiss my ass because you know what?
Well, that's another thing everybody's got.
If I get this interview, all you're thinking about is your career.
Gita, if I get this interview, you'll have your ears so close to that radio it'll burn the chin hair off your face.
You're looking for recognition.
Looking for recognition.
Yeah, this is all about recognition. This isn't about the American people. Osama bin Laden, through you, will be controlling what we say.
So what? So for a couple of weeks, big deal. Are you telling me it's not healthy the American people keep their big bazoos shut for 2 weeks?
Why should we keep them out shut?
Because I think it would be a good thing for a change.
He killed all these innocent people. Why should we keep them out shut?
Because I think it would be healthy for 2 weeks not to hear anything from you.
What does he have to say in an interview that's going to make us feel any better?
Exactly. What are you going to ask this guy?
Nothing is going to make us feel better.
I would ask him things like, where are you? Wouldn't you like to know where he is?
I don't give a shit where he is. I just want to see him killed.
Well, then how are we going
to
kill him? We don't know where he is, you dumb broad. God.
This is what I want to see.
What is wrong with him?
I just asked, how are we going to kill him if we don't know where he is?
How are you going to find him?
Because I got an interview with Al Jazeera Radio, and they're going to help me find him.
Oh, they're going to help you find him.
You're losing your mind.
Osama bin Laden.
I don't know, but it's worth a try. And if we can get him.
In the meantime,
In the meantime,
Gita, the worst thing that happens is we don't have to listen to you for 2 weeks.
What do you mean you don't have to listen to me for
2 weeks?
So that was yesterday, and I like that Lloyd cat, though, out there on his RV, you know, driving along, singing a song. So there it is. You can get all of this audio, by the way. All of our archive stuff is available at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, at the very best possible quality, too. You want to go find our audio on some other inferior lo-fi mung site? You can go right ahead and do that, listening to the scratchy crap can sound of a recording off of a radio. Or you can get our cool-ass audio right here on our website. You need your backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month, and you get 30 days of archived audio. You get the live streaming. You know, it's a beautiful thing. What do we got here? Taliban and Kunduz reportedly agree to surrender. Is this the latest or something? Is this the latest? All Taliban, 5:47 Eastern, will do. That was 2:47 our time. All Taliban just popped up on the thing. All Taliban forces in the besieged northern Afghan enclave of Kunduz have agreed to surrender and reported it's a CNN's reporter in the nearby city of Mazar-e-Sharif is under Northern Alliance control, so Taliban commanders from Kunduz with an estimated 10,000 men under the control had agreed to surrender in talks with Alliance leaders in Mazar. It quoted a Kunduz Taliban commander named as Mullah Faisal as telling reporters allowed into the meeting room that all his forces, Afghans and foreigners alike, would surrender. Nothing violent will happen. The talks were continuing to work out details. What was the story with those foreign guys? They had some Pakistani, Chechenian, and some other Arab fighters in there. What was the story? They were fighting with the Taliban, but didn't they say that they wanted to get safe passage for them back to the countries, and the Northern Alliance did not agree to that?
They were trying to go to the UN,
and the UN said forget it. So these guys are basically up for grabs. You know, I'm telling you right now, this is what you do. You wait it out. You don't let these guys. What are they going to do with that Kandahar situation? They're going to go in there with guns blazing and make these guys all look like the big shot martyrs that they want to be. You sit there, you park it, you cut off all food, all water, all electricity, and you let them sit in there and stink. You let them sit in there without a shower for 3 weeks. Well, maybe with those guys, they don't mind it. Like 6 months. Well, maybe they've gone 6 months without a shower. I guarantee, forget the shower, not eating any food is going to get those guys to move out of there. You don't have to do anything other than, if you got a town surrounded, you sit and wait it out, man. It ain't like this is Bastogne and we got to move the Panzer Division on up to the front. Total of 10,000 Afghan Taliban troops and Pakistani, Arab, and Chechen fighters linked to the Al-Qaeda network of Saudi-born militant Osama bin Laden, prime suspect in the September 11th suicide airline attacks in the United States, were reported to be in the city. Those Al-Qaeda guys, they ought to turn over to us, though. They find any of those guys, we get them. The Taliban guys, they can go run with their tails between their legs and go hide in a hole in the ground someplace if they want to. Or whatever the hell they're going to do. Go off to their ranch and eat some more goat meat. But those Al-Qaeda guys, they ought to give to our guys. U.S. raids on Kunduz were relatively light for a second day with only 2 bombs being dropped. John and Ken's show was relatively light for a second day with about 5 bombs being dropped. I'm kidding. Taliban defectors and alliance troops said earlier that Afghan Taliban troops wanted to give up, but foreign Al-Qaeda fighters with nowhere to run had vowed to fight to the death and were executing Afghans who wanted to surrender. Bullcrap. The alliance suspected its ground offensive against the city, but said it would advance on Kunduz if the talks, which began in earnest on Sunday, failed. Many civilians have left Kunduz, an ancient city guarding routes into the Central Asian Republic of Tajikistan to the north. We left because of the bombing on the street next to ours. 14 members of the same family were killed when a bomb fell on their house. You know what? It's a sad, sad thing, man, when bombs fall on houses and kill civilians. Talk to that scumbag Omar Sharif or whatever the hell his name is. Talk to that dirtbag bin Laden. Find out from the Taliban why it is that they instituted a regime so horrific that the rest of the world, all we wanted to do was bomb them. Then talk to us about how we're guilty of killing civilians. We don't target civilians. The Taliban does. That's the difference between us and them. And if I got to hear one more person say, well, you know, it's really no different what happened on September the 11th and the death of so many civilians in Afghanistan. Yeah, there's a big difference. On September 11th, they did it on purpose. We do it by mistake.
What do you mean Omar Sharif was in Funny Girl? I say they execute him, too, for being in that movie. They ought to execute him for being in Funny Girl, in Dr. Zhivago, and for running that freaking Let's Go Into Al Capone's Vault special. That's what I say. So that's the latest news as we have it. Kunduz has fallen. Did you guys, in your wildest dreams 6 months ago, ever think that you'd even know where Kunduz was? Or know that it was a city as opposed to an imaginary animal that Steven Spielberg made up for his next big AI-like blockbuster? We're getting more news. Blockbuster cancels awards show. Video rental giant Blockbuster has canceled its annual awards show because it says there are so many awards show on TV that liver bile squirting out of people's nostrils is at a record-breaking clip. The Blockbuster Entertainment Awards had been scheduled for next spring in Los Angeles, but the Dallas-based company said, mercifully, we are canceling our award show because there are so many award shows now, the diarrhea would drown $250 million easy. Also, U.S. tries to stop bin Laden escape. The United States and its allies move to seal off potential escape routes Osama bin Laden could use to leave Afghanistan, while a spokesman for the Taliban said Wednesday the Islamic militia no longer knew the terror suspect's whereabouts. They keep tracking and dodging and bobbing and weaving, and we're looking, said Donald Rumsfeld. Taliban spokesman Syed Tayyab Aga Badubabaga Badabada asshole said the Taliban have no idea where bin Laden is. Honest. Cross my heart and hope to die, and just then a daisy cutter ripped his ass. Aga vowed that the Taliban would fight to keep the one quarter of Afghanistan they still hold, just as they vowed that they would fight to keep the whole country that they held 2 months ago, just as they vowed that there would be airplanes crashing into buildings, and just as they vowed that all of our mothers would wish they'd never met our fathers. Yes, the Taliban continues to vow crap, even as they get ripped a new ass on a daily basis. Today we vow that the Americans will die. Yeah, sure. And another thing, we will open up the... Oh, this is boring, Eddie. Let's go get a drink. Yeah, get out of here. Why don't you go get 5,000 more guys to march on an embassy or something, okay? Something different, all right? They were going to get a jihad going, man. Yes, the Taliban vowed today that a jihad was going to be against America and all the Arabs in the world and all them cats, all them Muslim dudes. Man, they'd be coming down like a freaking, like a bat out of hell. What, they get like 300 guys show up? They're always vowing something, aren't they? Man, they're vowing that we're Satan, and they're vowing they're going to rip us an ass, and they're vowing. You know what it is? It's the sour grapes of a culture that just couldn't make it. That's all it is. It's just the sour grapes of a defunct culture. It's not about the Palestinians, and it's not about Mecca, and they know we didn't disrespect their holy land of Saudi Arabia. They're just pissed off that 700 or 1,000 or 1,200 years ago, they just didn't have the juice to keep it going, man. Their holy Muslim empire just turned into a pile of dog poop right there in the middle of the old Arabian Peninsula, man. And ever since then, they've been scrambling to put two nickels together, and everybody else is having a good time with their life. You know, we're all rocking and rolling, baby. We got the Blockbuster Awards and all that crap. And they don't dig it. They don't want anybody else having a party because they suck. You know, they're always constantly breaking their vows. We can't trust the word they say anymore. They said that they were going to destroy America, and they didn't do that. Then they said they were going to make our mothers wish they'd never met our fathers. They didn't do that. Then they said they're going to send all of our soldiers to hell. They didn't do that. Then they said they're going to drag our soldiers' bodies to the streets of Kabul. And they didn't do that. When are you guys going to come through on one thing you said you're going to do? That's all it is. Just a bunch of lightweights, man. I'm telling you right. Just a bunch of lightweights. And the reason why I say that is because shortly after September 11th, if I had a nickel for every talk show host in America sitting there going, and they're going to raise an army of fanatics, and they're going to spread anthrax, and he may have a nuclear bomb. If I had a nickel for every one of those lightweight, panicky guys that I heard, I'd be a multi. I wouldn't have showed up for work today. I'd have been retired 2 weeks ago. But I knew. The kid knew. The kid knew that it was all hot air. Just like I knew that anthrax was a domestic guy, and just like I knew that bin Laden cat and his pal that said that there would be a rain of airplanes was full of crap. Those guys are talking through their ass at a record-breaking clip over there, and we're still taking them serious. We're still taking them serious. So I told you, so just like I'm that Nostradamus guy. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, Chatsworth, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, great show as always.
Thank you.
I heard your comments earlier about, on account of you said, about how you knew the anthrax was domestic, and also that you knew about the Taliban.
Well, I mean, it was just some opinions I had.
I think I've been following your career from the beginning, and I think you have been very, very good at predicting stuff. Why, you're better than Nostril Dumbass. Now, another...
But who is Nostril Dumbass?
Huh?
Who's Nostril Dumbass?
The guy that predicts the future?
Nostradamus.
I thought that's the football team.
What is?
They just played Ohio State.
Who, Nostril? That's Notre Dame.
Anyway, I was...
Just like that Nostril Dumbass guy. Hey, by the way, tomorrow, football, the Detroit Lions. Hey. And have they prepared themselves for a Thanksgiving Day treat? They're 0-9. Thank you, Lions, for making a season out of it so that we could look forward to our Turkey Day game and know that you'd be there with your 0-9 team. They're playing the Packers. What do you want to bet they win? I bet you they win. In any event, the Packers have actually fared the least well against the Lions. They're 10-4-1 on Thanksgiving. The Lions are 10-4-1 against the Packers. They've lost all three to the Rams. They're 1-2 against the Vikings. Ah, who gives a crap? But anyway, God, I wish this one cool game on. Is there any college games on tomorrow? Got to be some good college games or something. And there's another NFL game. There's Dallas Denver. Might not be a bad thing. Here is, by the way, the other thing I wanted to ask people is, how's it going on the road right now, man? I mean, are you guys all right? Are you guys, are you stuck anywhere? You know, remember we did that the last couple of years, found out that people had, you know, like left Long Beach on their way to San Francisco, and it was day three. Here's Brian on the Phil Henry Show. Brian?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just wanted to had a comment about what you said about the Taliban, about them being full of crap. I think you could not be more right, man. I mean, they have not.
You're right, I am. That's right. Okay, so anyway, Penn State's playing tomorrow? Oh, if they play, you think that'd be cool? What, you want to see Paterno take it in the shorts one more time? Boy, what a sick animal you are. You want to see old Joe go down one more time, huh? Joe Paterno's fantastic, if he knew how to recruit. But anyway, no, he's a good coach, and he's now got the most wins of any coach in the history of the planet Earth, and now he can rest easy. As long as he got that Paul Bear Bryant clown out of there, that slob. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a good Thanksgiving. So remember last couple of years we would take calls from people on the road, and they would tell us where they were, and they're going off to grandma's house and all that baloney. And there'd be people out there like they'd been driving for like 15 hours, and they were going across the street. You know, they're going like across town or something. That's at least how it was in California. I don't know where everybody's going, but I know there's a hell of a lot of people out on the road, man, because I saw them from my office window this afternoon. They were moving. Alex, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I just want to say, man, you're right about the Taliban, and I'm...
Thank you. All right, so if you are out there on the highways and byways, give us a call. Yeah, I was right about the Taliban. I was right about Osama. But do you think I'd be right about tomorrow's game? No. I got the Lions winning that thing. 1-800-449-8686. Log on to our website and get that backstage pass. It's the only way you get high-quality audio and all the audio archives from The Phil Henry Show.